Welcome to the studio, Ruben V, man. How you doing?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for having me, my brother.
Right on.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you here and just talking about music, talking about being in San Antonio. And how long have you been in San Antonio?
On and off, possibly 30-something years, over 30 years, easily over 30 years, on and off between here and Austin for the past so many years, yeah.
So you were born in Corpus Christi?
Born in Corpus, and then ended up, we did the L.A. thing, and then came back, and then I came here, then to Austin, they came here, to Austin, back and forth, wherever I could find work at the time.
Well, I think, you know, over the 14 years I've been here at KRTU and in San Antonio as a resident, I think I've, you know, I heard your name hundreds of times, and people who love your music and love what you've been doing in music for many years. And so it's great to have you here, and we're looking forward to seeing you at a show coming up Sunday. It's going to be a Sunday, April 14th. It's at Sam's Burger Joint, and it's the San Antonio Blues Society putting on the Fiesta Blues Heritage Series as part of the Heritage Series. And Mike Morgan and The Crawl, who I actually spoke with on the phone yesterday.
Awesome.
Who's going to play back that interview next week. He was up in Dallas making some barbecue, so he couldn't make it down to hang out with us. But it'll be Mike and Ruben V, and also on the bill is Sonny Wolf. And those are three artists that you can get a chance to check out. Doors are at 1, show at 2. And it's so a really cool afternoon Sunday concert.
Yeah.
It's also the Sam Baird Scholarships are a part of it, and we'll talk with Victor about the Sam Baird Scholarships. But I just wanted to first talk to Ruben V just about you know, music and in your life and making music your life and where that all started.
It started just as a kid. My dad played, my brother played, my uncle played. It was always around us. And then, of course, it was going to consume me, and it did completely. Mm-hmm. It's been the livelihood of my entire existence, I guess.
And yeah.
We talked about this the other day with a friend of mine. I don't know. I went from the Evel Knievel toy to a guitar. It's like 10 years old, you're like, okay, that's enough Evel Knievel. I found the guitar.
Right.
And I still have the Evel Knievel toy in my office. So there you go.
Right on.
And the guitar.
Yeah, well, another thing I've noticed, you know, about your music, because I've heard your music and I've heard your recordings and, you know, seen you alive in the distance at certain events, too, over the years. And, you know, I know you mix in a lot of different sounds and different styles. I mean, I think it's an amalgamation of, you know, rock and roll, but also the blues, of course, as the foundation of it, and, you know, jazz even, and soul. I mean, tell me about that as far as, you know, putting it all together in your head and then putting it out on stage.
Growing up, to me, was my philosophy has always been the same, which is Aerosmith didn't sound like B.B. King. B.B. King didn't sound like Judas Priest. Judas Priest didn't sound like Stevie Ray Vaughan. Everybody had their own sound.
Yeah.
So I was still in the mindset that that's what you're supposed to do. I'll come up with my own thing mixed with the blues, and then getting to work with some producers, he kind of pushed me towards Latin stuff, and so, and then my love for jazz as well. So I had to find a way to make R&B, Marvin Gaye, you know, whether it's Kenny Burrell, Stevie Ray Vaughan, Santana, all those people are influences on me. Robert Cray, they're all my thing, and so I had to find a way to make all that work. Is it blues anymore? I don't know. It's my everything I write is based on my blues, for love for blues. And then it takes on its own thing once you find certain chords. You know, you get it. You know, you get these jazz chords in there that work. And you start to fill it in with your own music, and you come up with your own voice. And then you do your own voice. They're like, well, that's not really rock. It's not really blues. You're not really jazz. What are you? I don't know. I'm Ruben V. I thought that's what we're supposed to do.
Right.
So, but you don't fall in the category. So for your whole career has been, well, you're not rock enough for rock. You're not blues enough for blues. And you're not jazz enough for jazz or country for country.
Yeah.
But I was under the impression that that's what you were supposed
to do. That's what you're supposed to do. Yeah.
So, but I get it. You know, I worked record stores for years. So they want a label. They need to put you somewhere.
Yeah.
But I'm from Texas, and we kind of put everything on the plate.
Yeah. I mean, you've worked with so many, you know, awesome producers and,
oh man,
in the industry, and have been
blessed. Yeah,
yeah.
And shared the stage with these guys, and hang out with these guys, and in the blues world, man, B.B. King, Jimmy Vaughan, Robert Cray, I mean, Johnny Winter, Edgar. I've done all these guys. I've done all these shows with all these incredible people, and so it's what's fun with me though is that I can do a blues show, like we're gonna do next Sunday, and I can do a rock show, like I've done Pat Travers. I've done all the major, Frank Marino, I've done all these rock bands. I mean, I've done them all.
Uh-huh.
I've been the bridesmaid to all these acts for so many years. You know, country shows, I've played Green Hall, I've played, you know, Floor Country Store. I've done them all. So it doesn't matter what the gig is, jazz, we've done jazz gigs, it doesn't matter. I try to write music to where whatever genre it is I have to fit in, I could take the same song and make it work.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what, I don't know. Growing up the way I did with music was, they're just chords. However you face the melody, however you make the melody grow, it's going to be a song. Once Unplugged came on MTV, it made it cool to go, okay, you can change it if you want to make it fit what you need to do. And I'm a big Bruce Springsteen fan, so acoustic came in that way. And then, you know, you kind of mix all it up, and that's kind of how I came up with my sound.
Yeah, it sounds like you have a love for the guitar and the sound of the guitar, but also songwriting.
And that's funny because that's been the biggest battle for me my whole career.
Yeah.
I'm a songwriter, but I love to play guitar. So to fight those guys is really hard because the songwriter's like, that's enough guitar, put that away. And the guitar was going, yeah, well, who cares about your song? I'm going to solo for a while. And they're that devil and the angel on my shoulders that have always been there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm blessed enough to where it might be a curse, but it's also a blessing to say I can go do an acoustic songwriting show tomorrow and turn around and do a rock and roll blues show. I can just wail on the guitar.
Yeah.
You know,
so, I think that's definitely a blessing. I mean,
to me, it's been, I'm able to work. You can go from 50 shows to 250 shows. It depends how much you want to work. And if you find the right venues that accept it, because every music is based on the blues. Mm-hmm. Bass is, you know, the blues is the godfather, man. That's, everything is based off the blues. So
right on. That's it. The blues is the roots, and the rest is the fruits.
Thank you very much. I like that. I want that shirt.
All right. Well, let's hear a tune, and then we'll talk with Victor too about about the event coming up. Sure. Ruben V live in the studio here at KRTU.
Someone's pain. Wanna ride, leave behind some of this pain. Cause it's way too much trouble, labor and shame. I wanna rest, cause this old soul just ain't the same. Wanna rest, this old soul just ain't the same. Cause it's way too much trouble, labor and shame. Well, it's way too much trouble, labor and shame. Trouble, labor, and shame. Well, it's way too much trouble, labor, and shame. Well, it's way too much trouble, labor, and shame. Sorry, my voice is probably shot.
I think it sounds great
early
in the morning.
For the
like
morning
that.
Boy, early in the morning.
It's got that gritty, raw, rough blues sound that we all expect, right? Listen to that too. Was it called Labor of Shame?
Labor of Shame, yeah. Right. That was a song. Actually, the funny thing with that record was we did that one in, I think we did Labor. Where did we do Labor of Shame? At Willie Nelson's studio. Memphis. I don't know. It was one of those.
One of the great studios.
Yeah, we've been blessed to do some great studios and great producers. So, yeah, but that song is funny. People go, is that about your career? Are you mad you didn't make it? What? The song, Labor Shame. I said, no, it's just how life, how how sometimes the world just gets so overwhelming.
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, that's the big thing with me. It's like, oh, you didn't make it. You didn't get to be.
I bet you get that a lot, especially in a town like San Antonio.
Yeah, and they've all put their faith in me, man. I don't blame them. You know, 25 years ago, oh, my God, sign this because you're going to be famous. And it didn't happen, but very few get to make that thing, you know. And
but what is that? What is famous to you?
I tell this story all the time. You got a couple of seconds here.
Please, yeah.
I was having a bad day because it's like everybody else. I was hoping to get the next level and do that thing, and you want that thing. And then one day I was having a bad day of thinking about it, and it was just kind of messing with me. I wanted more for my family, more for myself and my kids. And I'm outside. I told my wife, I'm going to take my son outside, teach him to ride a bike. And she's like, what's going on? Why are you this way? I said, just leave me alone. Let me teach my kid. I get outside. Come on, son. We're working, trying to ride the bike. She's like, hey, tapping me on the shoulder. I'm like, babe, seriously, let me just, I don't want to talk about it. And she kept doing it, bugging me. And I'm like, oh, my God, I finally turned around and I lost it. Like, what? What's so important? I just wanted to have a bad day. I'm not happy what I, you know, I wasn't successful. I didn't, you know, get what I wanted. She's like, why don't you turn around? I said, what? She said, look at that house. You bought that house. How about that truck or that motorcycle you said you're going to get when you made it? When you told Freddie Fender, if you ever made it, you're going to buy your Harley and ride down Ocean Drive in Corpus. You did that. How about the guitars? How about everything else you've accomplished? She goes, how about me? How about the kids? Yeah, you're right. You've got nothing in your life. Boy.
Wow.
Yeah. I fell to tears because
it's
funny how we can put ourselves in a situation where thinking that if you're not Eric Clapton, then you're not famous. And for me, it really knocked me on my butt to realize that I get to do over 200 shows a year.
Yeah.
I get paid to play guitar.
You're a musician.
Yeah. I tell this story all the time. In eighth grade, we had career day at school, and they're like, Ruben, Mr. Vella, where would you like to be? I'm like, well, I want to play guitar. I'm be a rock star, you know? She's like, well, that's not a job. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, Kiss does it. You know, when you're 9, 10 years old, whatever, 12-yard in school, it's like Kiss does it. She's like, that's not a job.
Right.
So we walk in the library, we pass the lawyer, we passed the cop, we passed the fireman, and she sat me down with a gardener. Nothing wrong with gardening. Every time I tell the story, I feel like I'm dogging gardeners. I'm not. But it was the one Hispanic in the room, and she figured, this is who you should talk to, right? So I sit down with this gardener, and he looks at me and goes, mijo, you want to be a gardener? I said, no, sir. He goes, what do you want to do? I said, play guitar. She goes, you know what, mijo? Go play guitar. I know why she sent you here. And he told me to leave. And it was great because all she saw was, you're a little Mexican kid. Go do Mexican things. And
right.
And in that point on, the man, just like my dad, said, no, you go play guitar. Like, that's what you want to do. And from the age of 10, this is it. I've had oddball jobs, but I've been able to maintain a life and raise a family playing guitar.
Right. So
did I make it? I don't know.
I think you did, Ruben.
You know, I'm blessed that, you know, I get to do this every day.
Yeah.
I'm booked 4 or 5 times a week. Sometimes, like last week we had 8 shows in 6 days. I can't complain. They still show up. A buddy of mine the other day came to my show. He goes, wow, dude, your fans are old, right? And I looked around like, yeah. I said, but guess what? They've been following me for 35 years.
Right, right. And you know there's a lot of younger people who love the music, too, who are going to come out.
Hopefully, yeah. They brought their kids and their grandkids.
Yeah.
Which is crazy to say that because I remember the day moving to San Antonio. I knew one person, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so now.
Was that in the 80s or something? Or was that-
I got here 80. 6, 7.
Okay.
I don't know, but I was here with my girlfriend at the time, and she's like, well, you're not moving here unless you get a job. And we were having lunch at McDonald's on San Pedro across from Apple Records. And I said, I'll be right back. I got to go to the bathroom. I lied. I went around the building to the record store, Sound Warehouse, and I asked if they were hiring. And she goes, why? I said, well, I need a job. She goes, have you done this? I said, well, I used to manage a store in Corpus called Craig's Record Factory. She goes, actually, I'd hire you right now. She called the store. She gave me a job. I came back. She's like, you okay? It's like, yeah. Well, you were gone a while. I said, yeah, well, you know. I said, I got a job. She goes, where, here, McDonald's? I said, no, next door to the record store. When? I said, right now. So I was in town for a little while and got a job that same day and have been here back and forth between here and Austin forever.
Right on. Yeah. That's great.
So my life is funny, man. I when I talk about it in my own head or if I tell these stories, I'm like, what the heck?
Mm-hmm.
What a crazy
How
life.
Did that happen? Yeah.
How did that happen? Yeah.
Right on. But Ruben V, in case you just joined us, hanging out with us, he's going to be playing Sunday, April 14th at Sam's. And Victor DiValentino, who's with the San Antonio Blues Society and has been my guest several times here at KRTU to talk about the concerts at Sam's. And This time it is another part of the Fiesta Blues Heritage Series concerts. And Victor, tell me about putting this series together, too, with Mike Morgan and the Crawl, Ruben V, and also Sonny Wolf.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having us on again, Corey. We appreciate you and appreciate KRTU for all that they've done for us over the years. KSYM also, it's a big help to have the local radio stations, especially the blues people back in what we're doing and having our artists on here and having the organization on. The Fiesta Blues Heritage Series actually started as an event that the San Antonio Blues Society wanted to get involved in with the annual Fiesta event that went on in San Antonio. And it's kind of sprung off into its own little operation here. While we do celebrate with the Fiesta celebration around the same time in town, we run ours a week earlier. Our big thing is to celebrate the music, especially of our Texas musicians. And we always want to have local representation, which made this one real special. Having Ruben V on with our show is just a real special thing this year. And to have the legendary Mike Morgan and the Crawl, who was part of the Great Dallas Invasion back in the day, was big in forming the Austin scene there. And we're also going to be featuring Sonny Wolf, who is one of these beautiful stories. This, Ruben, by the way, that was an amazing story you shared with us. And Ruben always shares his feelings and his emotions going through family, his music and everything. He always shares it with his audience here in San Antonio. He's just real tight with the community. We have with us Sonny Wolf. He's one of these people that fell in love with Stevie Ray Vaughan first time he heard him. And moved down from Canada to Austin. Wanted to pursue music that big, left everything he had, came on down here to play. So we want to celebrate these artists, and that's what we do with our Fiesta Blues Heritage Series show. And also one of the great grand things that we do is the awarding of the Sam Baird Scholarship, which is one of our two major functions, our continuing missions in the community, Sam Baird Scholarship Blues in the schools. Sam Baird, incredible dude, a surfer, guitar player, always wearing a Hawaiian shirt, just a real character, but had a real desire and an ambition to get music into the lives of young people. He knew what it was like for him. He knew how important it was, and he also knew it's an avenue for a lot of people who might not be able to, you know, in their view, succeed. We'd love hearing these young people all of a sudden get excited about music after one of our shows. They'll come up and ask us, how did you do that? How did you do this? And if you're in sales at all, we call that a buying sign. And we let the teachers know, get in touch with the parents. This child is showing an interest in music. And we strongly believe, as everybody does, music by itself is a great discipline. It's good for your thinking process. Your emotional process, it's just one of the wonderful gifts that that we've received. And we love showing off at the Fiesta Show our talent here as far as established artists, our local artists, our up-and-coming artists, and then with the scholarship, future artists that are going to be coming around the road. So this is really a big celebration, and we always want to take the time, Corey, to thank not only the school staffs and the guidance counselors and all the music teachers. We really want to thank the parents and the families of these musicians. Ruben just shared with us how he just grew up in music. It was around him all the time, and he had to find out what it is that was going to make him unique. When I was a child, Dad went to war. Mom made sure that I had music on all the time around me. And I started realizing patterns. I started realizing what's the next verse going to be. So it started getting my mind clicking. Mm-hmm. But it had a real neat appeal to my ear. And we want to make sure that the young people, especially here in San Antonio, where a lot of them don't have access to a lot of, you know, great things that could get them on a good course in life. And we want to get more of the Ruben Vs. We want to get more of the Mike Morgans, more of the Sonny Wolfs, and all the great artists. They have the opportunity. They put the work in. They put the hours in. And they probably ate a lot of noodles. And they didn't have a great lifestyle. But they did what they loved, and they showed it, and they shared it. And they're still doing it, so they got to be really, really good at it. So with the Fiesta Show, We want to share that with the people, and we want to award the future young people that are going to be doing it the same.
Right on. And talking about, too, the scholarships and education and, you know, growing up with a teacher in music. Ruben, do you have any teachers that you can recall that were just extremely influential on you? Or do you,
you know, I wish, I'd say this every day. I say this, I wish I would have taken music courses. I took a guitar class in seventh grade, but it was just CG, you know, typical stuff. And then I just started doing my own thing. I think I've always done my own thing. And I wish now, like I've been reading for years how to do my own, you know, how to read music or whatever. I can't read it, but I've learned over the years chords. I know the chart, you know, I can do numbered systems. I can do all that stuff. But I wish, so I'm telling any guitar player that you're coming up, any musician, learn it. Take the class, learn it. I, as an old man now, I wish I would have taken those courses. I wish. But I went on the road very young, and this is all I've done. So I've had mentors, of course. Jimmy Spacek here in town. Chris Holzhouse in town. All these guys, you know, Butch, Claude Morgan in town. They had no Randy Garavay, the original, the father.
Yeah.
Would show me, know me. Oh, that's the wrong chord. No, put your finger here. And he, over the years, I was blessed to be around those guys. And to tell you, no, that's not right.
Right.
You can't do that nowadays. You hurt somebody's feelings. But back when I was coming up, the older guys are like, that's not right. They'd grab my guitar like, no, that's not it. Put it over here. Put it over here. And that was okay with me. It didn't bother me. You know, I didn't get offended. It didn't hurt my feelings. They were just trying to show me because I didn't know.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know the blues until I heard Steve Ray Vaughan. I'm reading everybody's bio here that Victor has handed me.
Yeah.
And we all have the same bloodline. We all have Steve Ray Vaughan. It's how we found the blues.
Uh-huh.
And for my generation, it's the truth. I wonder sometimes, had Stevie not died, would these people be around? There'd be no Archangels. There'd be no Storyville. There'd be no Kenny Wayne Shepherd. I mean, they might be who they are, but had Stevie not died, would there be a John Mayer?
Right.
Most of these people never heard of Stevie until he died.
That's right.
Jesus became...
Well, then Kenny Wayne Shepherd, he was like 14 or something.
Yeah,
you know,
these guys were all 8, 9 years old when Stevie died. They never saw him. I got to see him. You know, so I wonder that some, and sometimes people get mad at me for saying that, but had he not died, would we have all the people we have now?
Well, I think that's what you can say the same about Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah, I mean, everybody has their person at their generation that caused them to pick up the guitar. Jimi Hendrix, Steve Ray Vaughan, you know, and so, but I'm reading all the bios, and we all have the same one connection that took us there.
Yeah, and I guess you told me a story, too, about how you were having some issues. Well, you had... someone died that is close to you that you played music with, and so you were going through some depression and
depression
and drinking, and then you went to Corpus and you were on the beach and saw SRV.
Yeah, that changes everything. It's like anything else. Once you see it live, once you see it that it can happen, once you see human beings doing it, you're like, okay, it's possible. Like, he's doing it. I have the same strings, and you know, people go. I had a lady one time tell me we played one night. All night long. And I've done originals my whole life. I might throw in a cover here and there. In my early career, I probably did a set of covers to get me through it until I had enough material. I had one lady go, oh, my God, some of those Stevie Ray Vaughan songs I'd never heard. And I'm like, I didn't do any Stevie Ray Vaughan. And she's like, no, you did. And I'm like, none. Like, none.
Right.
But to her, if you hear, you know, if you're about to say, you know, Stevie guys... You hear that?
It's like that cold shot thing, yeah.
Just that shuffle with the right hand. People think it's Stevie. I mean, it's a Texas thing, definitely. Everybody has, Chicago has this thing, but Texas is always...
That's right. Swinging, yeah.
You know, and that's... And so if you throw that in your song, oh my God, you sound just like Stevie Vaughan. Do you mean to? Probably. When I was in my 20s, of course.
Well, yeah, that's what you were feeling.
That's
you
what
know?
You're feeling. That was my introduction, you know. But I never learned his music. And people find that funny. But I don't learn anybody's music because I don't want to embody that. I think I loved Stevie's soul and his heart more than I did his technique. And that's stupid to say because everybody wants to learn that technique. They all got that same role. Everybody now has that same... Right? And we all learn it. But for me, it wasn't sit down and learn. It was just like, in my head, I'm like, okay, how's he doing that? Why that? Because I wanted to come up with my own, and you take that piece and you start to make your own. And I think that's, I don't know. But everybody does that now. Like, Stevie's more famous now than he ever was alive.
Right.
And that's my own opinion. because I worked record stores and we didn't sell a whole lot of Stevie Vaughan before until after he died.
Mm-hmm.
When he was alive, we might have sold one every 6 months.
Right.
Yeah, he died.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I got fired the day he died, so I know how many we sold.
Right. And that's a whole other story.
That's other story.
All right. But, well, there's a cassette I had. It was like Live in Austin 1980, and it was incredible. It was like, a live performance at Antone's with Tommy Shannon and Chris Layton.
I've been blessed to get to jam with Tommy and put a little band together with him before and do some shows. And all those guys, I mean, the scene in Austin when I got there in the 80s, 90s, was just unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Playing Steamboat's the same. You know, once you walk in those rooms where Stevie, where the guy that brought you in, you get to play those rooms. And I got to play up and down 6th Street, all those rooms. You got to do all that. Play Dallas at Trees. I played, all those areas. We did them all. The 90s were such a great way to grow
Deep Ellum
for blues. Deep Ellum was unbelievable for me. Yeah, we had great times in those days.
Right.
So
on.
I guess I tend to think that the three of us are probably all around the same age as I read all these bios, because we grew up that way. We grew up that way. That was our introduction. Robert Cray and Stevie Vaughan were my... Robert Cray comes on MTV, you're like, what the... This guy's talking about taking the girl next door, somebody's wife, and like, well, sorry, I'm just another notch on my guitar. I'm like, who is this dude? Like, that's a bad dude.
Right. Right.
Sorry, I shouldn't say on the radio. But that's what the song... And so I was like, wow, Stevie Vaughan is knocking it out, and this dude, Robert Cray, has a suit. He's smooth. And getting a hang with Robert Cray, the three shows I've done with him, is just... He's so kind-hearted.
Mm-hmm.
He's so real.
Yeah, you can tell why he's such a clean sound, too.
Totally opposite. And I think he did the same as we all think. I'm going to create my own version of that.
Exactly.
And that's what you want. Again, back to what do I call my music? It's the same thing. I just created my own version of it. Thanks to my producer, Jim Gaines, we added some Latin stuff to it. And at first, I was against it, man.
Mm-hmm.
My first ride up in town, I tell the story a zillion times, was... Ron Young, you remember Ron Young? He was a writer. I don't know if he was alive. If you were here when he was alive, he was a writer for the newspaper. My first writer was the first line of the story was, if you can imagine Hispanic Stevie Ray Vaughan. I didn't read the rest.
Uh-huh.
I literally threw across.
Yeah, that sounds incredibly frustrating. Yeah.
Well, he called me later on that night. He goes, hey, did you read your article? I'm like, I read the first line. Why? It's a great article. People are calling me all day. I'm like, dude, Bruce Springsteen was here 2 weeks ago.
Right.
You didn't say the great white Bruce Springsteen was coming.
That's right.
He's like, what? I was like, so I don't know what my race had to do with it. Like, I understand it helps to sell, but I just wanted to be a guitar player. I didn't want my race to be a thing.
Well, not only that, but the comparison, too, to another giant in music.
Trust me, man. People go, dude, are you kidding? You're getting compared to Stevie Vaughan. It's a blessing. It's also a curse.
That's right. I get it now. Yeah.
You know. I'm talking too much, brother.
Let's hear some music.
You know, Victor, look at me like you're talking too much. You know.
In case you just tuned in, it is 11:32 in the AM KRTU FM, and joining me is Ruben V and Victor DiValentino. Let's hear a tune.
We'll do something with the second record. This is cut. This is. Doctor, what's wrong with me? Oh, doctor, what's wrong with me? I'm feeling cold all over. What's wrong with me? I can't eat. I can't sleep. What's wrong? I can't eat and I can't sleep. What's wrong with me? Doctor, what's wrong with me? Oh, doctor, 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 what's wrong with me? Feel like my heart's quit working. What's wrong with me? That I can't think, that I can't breathe. What's wrong? I can't think, I can't breathe. What's wrong? doctor, what's wrong with me? Oh, doctor, 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 what's wrong with me? I'm feeling cold all over. What's wrong with me? I can't eat and I can't sleep. What's wrong? I can't eat and I can't sleep. What's wrong? I can't think and I can't breathe. What's wrong with me? Something like that.
Yeah.
It's too early. My hands aren't working.
Ruben V shredding on the Epiphone acoustic guitar.
The and, guitar. God.
So is that a special guitar for you? Do you have a ton of guitars
when
and
I,
just picked
when,
up
when
one?
I, when Gibson took me on, I wanted the Robert Johnson model. Mm-hmm. I love the small bottle, you know, small body guitars. They're just, I can manhandle
yeah,
them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They didn't have one in stock. They're like, dude, Epiphone just released these Master Builds, right? And I'm like, whatever, that's fine. And they gave me this guitar.
It's like the perfect size.
And it I've had it over 20 years, something that's been on all my records.
Oh, wow.
The day I got it, we were headed to the studio. Oh, the week I got it, we were headed to the studio, and we did a songwriting tune. I remember it was, so it had that sound. We had one mic on like this. Tick, 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 ticking in my head. And it just sounded full, and I was like, wow. My producer was like, I want one of those guitars. I'm like, they're not expensive, you know. Epiphone, people always dog Epiphone, but this guitar's, you know, been to the UK with me. It's been everywhere with me, so.
There it is. Yeah, you don't want to take a too expensive Gibson with you anyway.
Oh, my God, I did that when we went to play in Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
How did it do? Didn't come out very good?
They just say that, don't ever take an expensive guitar like that.
Especially to Turkey, yeah. All right. Ruben V with us. Victor DiValentino with us. Thanks so much for hanging out with me today, man.
I think I talked too much. I apologize, bro.
No, it's good. I'm going to play it back, too, on the South Texas Jazz Project coming up. So you might hear yourself again on KRTU if you listen.
Oh, man, I've heard my record maybe twice. After I record it, I might hear it once or twice. I'll never hear it again.
All right. And Victor DiValentino with the San Antonio Blues. How long have you been with the Blues Society, Victor?
Probably since about 2008, I would think.
Okay.
It's been a few years.
Yeah.
And we came on board when I think our first big project, this was just after they had the big Robert Johnson festival, the two-day festival downtown. And we were a young organization getting set up with Fiesta, getting jams set up over town, trying to get our Blues into School program going. And through the work of probably three different generations of board of directors, we brought it up to a pretty good place. We're the longest active going Blues Society in the Great Republic of Texas, and that's been through a lot of hard work and a lot of support from our members and a lot of support from our member artists like Ruben. A lot of times we have to make calls, switch shows. We need a volunteer band. Yeah, we got bands that'll come out in and do their best to help for us. We enjoy when we have the artists coming in from out of town. We really like to show them some good hospitality. Most of the time we work with them down at Sam's Burger Joint. They've been a great lifelong sponsor of ours. It's just a great place to have a show. You got all the eats and drinks you need, a great stage and a great atmosphere there. So, and we're going to be bringing Mike Morgan in, and we're going to be bringing Sonny in. I think Scott's going to be on the radio with you next Thursday.
Yeah.
And you guys are going to be discussing Mike Morgan and the Crawl, which, you know, it's a beautiful history. And as Ruben stated, one of his big changes in his life was hearing that first Stevie Ray Vaughan album, and the rest was history. It changed everything.
Yeah, Texas Flood, I think it was. Yeah,
yeah. And Mike's got a great story to tell. So, like I said, that's going to be on next Thursday with Scott Mayo from the Blues Society, Mike Morgan, And Corden, we appreciate you having us on again.
Really. Absolutely. Yeah. And one more question, Ruben. Who's going to be in your band on Sunday the 14th?
James Pickens is my bass player, and we're hoping Steve Mendez gets to make this show. He lives in Austin, so doing over 200 shows a year makes it hard for him to come back and forth. So We don't know who the drummer is yet. I hate to say that out loud, but we've gone to 26 drummers in 6 months. Trust me, man. It's a running joke with me. We end up being more like Spinal Tap lately, trying to find the right drummer, because nobody wants to work this much. Or actually, you know, the hard part is learning my material. They're like, eh.
Yeah, or they work too much. I mean, they have so many gigs going on.
Everybody now, San Jones has been good. Everybody's working. The musicians, everybody's working, man.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. But also, the blues side, you guys, thank you, Victor. You guys have been great to me for years. And, supporting us. Thank you for having me,
Corden. Right on.
I appreciate you.
And thank you. And we'll see you on Sunday the 14th. Again, that's at Sam's Burger Joint. Afternoon show, doors at 1, show at 2. And we're going to take it out with a track from the album True.
Oh, love this record.
So when did you make this record?
About 9 years ago.
Okay.
I was in a dark place because I was losing my dad at the time. So a lot of these songs deal with that, having to watch your big giant dad disappear in front of your face. But a lot of I tell people, I write five things: love, loss, you know, being out of love, lonely, and I'm a spiritual man, so a lot of it is spiritual as well. So those five things are my writing core.
We're going to play the jam off of it, the instrumental, Show Enough.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a funny story.
Okay, tell me real quick.
We used to play Tequila Mockingbird down. I don't know if I could tell the story. We used to play Tequila Mockingbird on the Riverwalk years ago in the 90s, I guess it was, early 2000s maybe, or maybe early 2000s. And this lady would come. She was a square dance lady, and she would wear her square dance outfit. And every time she'd come by the stage, she'd lift her skirt in front of me. No panties on. It was just... So the song which really had a different title. We just changed a letter to make it work.
Got it.
Sorry. Right. I shouldn't have told this story.
Show Enough, Ruben V here on KRTU. It is Jazz 91.7 FM.
Thank you.